I notice we've had some changes in the agenda.
Mr. Chair, it should be the same format as last month.
All right, there we go. Just organized different. Okay, there we go. All right, so I'd like to invite you to join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. There we go.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
All right, roll call of board members.
Mr. Begley?
Yes.
Mr. Knox?
Present.
Ms. Flores? Mr. Goodman? Ms. Guzman Glover?
Present.
Mr. Ledoux?
Here.
Mr. Turrentine?
Present.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Flores did indicate that she'll be about an hour late to the meeting this morning, so she should be joining us at about 10 a.m.
All right, thank you. We have the staff?
Yes, staff roll call. Mr. Bueno?
Here.
Ms. Rodriguez?
Here.
Ms. Neal?
Here.
Ms. Long?
Here.
Ms. Bordelon? Ms. Whitaker?
Here.
Ms. Chavez?
Here.
Mr. McConnell?
Here.
Ms. Hill?
Here.
Ms. Bergeron? Mr. Devine?
Here.
Ms. Coleman?
Here.
And Ms. Heredia? She's in the hallway, but she's here. And obviously Frank McGalley is present, and Ms. Baskin, legal counsel.
Is she here today?
Present.
Just checking. All right, in board business, first we'll have discussion, consideration, possible action on approval of the regular board minutes from the month January or July 15th, 2022 meeting. Do we have enough people for that?
We do not, Mr. Chair.
All right, we'll pass on that. How about the September 16th, 2022?
Yes, no, because you were not here last month, so we got to table that one as well.
All right, we'll move on. We'll catch up. All right, conflicts of interest. Do we have any today?
Nope.
Wow.
Mr. Knox, do you have any conflicts of interest? We'll listen to that as well.
No.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. All right, so we're up to visiting barber or cosmetology students or instructors. I think we probably have at least one instructor out there.
Amy Blackman, Gateway Community College. Terry Major, Gateway Community College instructor.
We appreciate Gateway and the support you provide us. Thank you. All right, let's move up to the Executive Director's Report. Mr. McGalley.
Well, good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. I am obviously happy and pleased to be with you again this month. My report is probably a few minutes longer than it was last month because there have been a number of items that have come up in the last month that I wanted to share with you, mostly all good news. First, I want to actually share with the board as well as the public and the audience this morning that I know it's hard to believe, especially for the staff team, that October marks my 6-month anniversary with all of you. This amazing team has accomplished a great deal during my time here, and to say I am incredibly grateful and proud of them is an understatement. I know I shared most of this information with you by email earlier in the month, but I did want to take this opportunity to publicly share the success of this team over those last 6 months. So I have a number of items, again, all of which you all saw in that email, but I wanted to share publicly. So we have reduced the average weekly call center wait time from 40 plus minutes to less than 10 minutes in the month of September, with an average call handle time of 3 minutes and 38 seconds. We've also reduced the average number of monthly phone calls from 4,200 in the month of March to less than 2,900 in the month of September. We have reduced establishment licensing licensing issuance from 18 weeks to less than four weeks or less. We've implemented the written practical examination for cosmetology, aesthetics, nail technology, and barber styling, eliminating that need for provisional licensing. We adjusted the examination licensing process to allow candidates to schedule their testing at the beginning of the process, effectively eliminating the 10 plus week backlog of examination approvals. And I might add that it, from a customer service standpoint and a staffing standpoint, that has been a huge shift in our work, and it's working extremely well. We've eliminated all backlogs for license duplicates, license certifications, license reactivations, check or money order returns, and payment batching. We've updated our existing web pages to provide consistent and accurate information to the public. I don't believe I have it anywhere in my notes for today, but I did also want to share that we are on track to do a soft launch of our new consolidated webpage on November 4th. We consolidated the barbering and cosmetology licensing and compliance functions. So we brought those teams together. So we have one compliance team, we have one licensing team now. We don't have separate barbering and cosmetology teams. We've improved employee engagement by an average of 39%. And we've created a functional organizational structure and updated staff position descriptions to be in alignment with the actual work being performed. I'm incredibly honored to work with each and every one of the staff and this board, and I look forward to seeing our next 6 months of accomplishments. Last month, onto our financial update. Last month, I confused myself, quite frankly, so I'm confident that you all were a little bit confused by the financial report that I gave. And so we dug into that. I personally dug into that a little bit more this month and realized that I confused myself and I confused board members. So for this month moving forward, I'm going to share with all of you a couple of different numbers that will help make sense. So we heavily front load our cash balance by way of appropriation in the first two quarters of the year because we have significant expenses in the first two quarters of the year. Rent, IT systems, et cetera, right? So our appropriation amount for the first quarter of the year was just shy of $860,000. And then because we're at the end of the first quarter, I did quarterly totals for you all. Our revenue in that first quarter was $695,000 and our expenses were $767,000. So we actually, quote unquote, netted $92,000 positively against our appropriation amount in the first quarter of the year. So where I was showing you some red last month, that's not an accurate reflection because we have to do it based on our appropriation amount, not our revenue amount. So our revenues are a little bit lower in the first quarter of the year and they're significantly higher in the last quarter of the year. So that's why we have to make these adjustments based on the appropriation. So I hope that clarifies that a little bit for you this month. And as on all prior months, I have placed full copies of our financial statement summaries in the shared drive, which you may wish to look for more details. And if you do look at those and you have any questions, I'm always happy to share that information with you. Board membership, new appointments. Nothing really new to report on that this month. We do still have two vacancies to the board. I have inquired. I have received personal emails. I have received emails from individuals expressing interest. We have forwarded that interest to the boards and commissions office. And so I continue to try each month to push. I think it's extremely important that we get those positions filled primarily because it's two of our industry knowledgeable individuals in a barber and a cosmetologist. So I'm going to continue to push as best as I can on those without making anybody too mad. So we'll keep moving on that. But I don't have any, unfortunately, no new news on board membership this month. From a staffing update, I wanted to bring you up to date on our executive staff assistant. As you are all aware, Heather had her beautiful baby Gianna a little over 3 weeks ago. And as a result of her maternity leave, I have hired a part-time contractor to help with a few items in the office, mainly to keep me organized. But most importantly, taking minutes during the board meeting this month. And there are actually a few other projects that we don't have existing staff capacity to work on, like supply and equipment surplus. So joining me today is Betsy Long. I have actually had the pleasure of working with Betsy Long for a number of years. She's a recent state employee retiree, and I know she will be a great complement to this team. We do expect Heather actually wants to come back to work next week. I don't know if her doctor's going to allow that or not. So it's either next week or 2 weeks after that. So we do expect her back fairly soon.
Most important question, are you guys doing baby at work?
We are doing infant at work. I actually, when we're done with the board meeting today, I have to go finalize the policy because she was supposed to finalize that policy and then had the baby 3 weeks early. So that fell in my lap. I'm also very excited to share that our very own Isabella tied the knot on Saturday afternoon. The weather held out for a beautiful outdoor ceremony followed by an awesome celebration of the newlyweds. Let me tell you, Isabella knows how to throw one heck of a party. So please join me in a heartfelt congratulations to Isabella and Jordan. I'm sure it will take a few days and or weeks to change in our systems, but Isabella's last name will be changing to Legowski. So congratulations, Isabella. And in true Isabella fashion, today is also Isabella's birthday. So happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
So next up is an update on employee engagement. I shared with you all in my interview in March that I think that is going to be key to our success as an organization. And I continue to keep this a strategy in the forefront of my mind at all times. We did a follow-up survey of staff on those six lowest scoring engagement questions. So we've done a consistent review of those questions in the 6 months that I've been here. So we did that. So there was the initial statewide survey, April 4th. We did a follow-up July 5th, and then we did a follow-up just last week on October 11th. So as you can tell, we have continued to actually increase our engagement in 5 out of 6 areas. We did see, as you'll see highlighted in yellow, one small decrease in my agency values, my ideas on work-related problems. That one's a little disheartening to me. I do take this personally, not like personally that they're picking on me, but personally, like we need to fix that because we need to be identifying problems at the appropriate level. We need to be taking steps to first identify them and then solve them. So I will be, Kelly, our deputy director, and I did have an initial conversation earlier this week, and unfortunately she had a death in the family and is on bereavement leave. So we're gonna put together a very specific plan related to this because again, I am confident that we need to first be identifying the problems and then empowering our staff to solve them. And so we're going to continue to work on that. So I will say we're still at a 23% net increase from the initial survey, but I didn't like seeing the decrease from the second survey into the third survey. So we'll take steps to solve that. As with prior months, here's an update on our written practical examination. Data to date, we have had since May 23rd, when the written practical examinations launched, we have had 3,385 candidates test. That is for 5 months of testing. When I pulled that number up, and that means we've actually, I think it was an 800 examination increase from last month. So that means it's working in my mind. So we've got great results on this written practical examination. I know it took a little bit to get us there, but once we were there, it is firing on all cylinders. We also, yesterday afternoon when I pulled this data, we currently have 631 candidates that have also scheduled to take a test. So it is in their court to, actually no, it's not in their court. They have a test date scheduled. So, and we do, when we pull these reports, We've got people scheduled actually out into February at that point, but there is current capacity if they wanted to go take that test. So it's really in the individual's court. I wanted to leave this final bullet on here, but strike it through. We are not approving in advance any longer people taking a test. They can go take the test when they choose to go take that test. So we don't have anything to report on that anymore, but I wanted to be able to mark that here in October that we're striking that through. And now in future reports, you will not see that. I'm also happy to say that we are seeing an uptick in all of our passing rates across the board at this point. And we are definitely starting to track a little bit better some of that information and really better understand what that looks like. One final point on this, in August, I brought to the board's attention an issue related to our practical examinations not being offered in Spanish. If you recall, I had indicated that we had submitted a request to NIC for the examinations to be translated into Spanish. After 2 months had gone by, I received a phone call from a school owner here in the Valley discussing the issue even further, and I personally learned quite a bit more about the unintended consequences for schools if those examinations were not translated into Spanish. So through this newfound partnership, I am proud to say that our request to have NIC translate those examinations into Spanish was granted on October 10th. I understand that NIC has contracted with the translation company and that translation is currently in process. I have preemptively contacted PCS and Prometric to let them know that this is coming and that we need to prepare for a rapid launch of the testing to ensure we avoid the unintended consequences for school. So that's all in the works. Beyond what I've said here, I don't have any further updates, but I'm hopeful by the November meeting, we will have that launched with Prometric. I will be sure to communicate that with the board once the Spanish practical examinations are launched, regardless of whether it's before the meeting or not. Like I will, as soon as it's launched, I will let you know. Mr. Ledoux.
Yes, I was wondering if there was staff to address issues relating to these tests and licensing that can speak Spanish. Just
We do have three, I believe, Spanish-speaking staff members that do take those calls on our behalf, calls and emails on our behalf. However, all testing-related questions go to Prometric and PCS, and so they do adhere to appropriate requirements related to language interpretation.
Have we looked at Vietnamese? Some of the other prominent languages.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, that is on the list. We are not quite there yet. I think this was, we actually have, again, I learned a lot about this. We actually have a couple, I won't say multiple, but a couple of Spanish-only schools, Spanish-only cosmetology schools that are facing some pretty significant consequences if we don't get these translated. So next up will be, my idea is that we get this year, we get those top five languages, translated and addressed, which I think we have on the theory side. So if we can just mirror those languages from the theory side, but at this point we don't have any action on that.
Okay, well, at least we're working on it.
Yep, it's on that never-ending list. So our overall licensing update, we remain current on all of those items, as I had mentioned in our successes. This last month, I promised transparency to this board. So here's another one of those transparency pieces. We did fall slightly behind on our establishment licensing this month. And we, as of yesterday, we were at 24 business days out on our licensing. So really that's 4 days behind, but I did promise transparency. We are taking steps. We are actually looking very closely at all of our licensing processes, making sure that we don't have requirements in our licensing that aren't in tune with either statute or rule, and really taking a close look at if we have any opportunities to improve that process, that we are doing that. And our deputy director, Shepherd, is working very closely with licensing staff to better understand that. And I'm confident that we'll see green on that license establishment next month. Last month, I shared with you the update about license printing. And there were, Mr. Ledoux, Member Ledoux had a couple of great questions related to security and some of those types of items. We took that feedback. And as a matter of fact, we just met yesterday morning with our IT provider who's making the switch for us. And here is a mock-up on the screen for you, is a mock-up of the new licenses. We did research, well, I shouldn't say we, Isabella did research over the last month and looked at, I believe, 8 other states and how they are issuing licenses. And because why reinvent the wheel when we've got other states that are doing it? So this actually brings us into alignment with a significant number of other states. So we will continue to have a picture on all licenses. Something new that will occur is that the license holder is going to have to now put a wet signature on their personal license. Okay, that is not something that has ever been on our licenses before. We also removed the executive director's signature. I think Arizona was the only state of all the states that we researched that has an executive director's signature on them. So we're no more. I don't need that. That's not something I need for my ego. and then what I'm actually most excited about is this QR code. This QR code is going to allow not only our compliance team when doing routine inspections and investigations to pull up the licensee information, it's going to allow any member of the public receiving service, if they choose to scan that QR code, see the licensing status of that individual. So I'm really excited about that. We are on track, but you know how IT launches go. We are on track to have this launched by on October 31st. So we're moving on that. This is again being done out of an efficiency standpoint. It's being done out of bringing us, quite frankly, into the 21st century. And all licenses are now going to look the same. Right now, this organization is issuing four different looking licenses. Now they're all going to be the same. And what we'll say is you'll see over there on the one side is the license type will be on that far side under that license number. So it's all going to be on there now. If it's a duplicate, the duplicate will show there. From a numbers standpoint, our initial 1 year savings to us as an organization will be $60,000. Our 1 year, first year one savings, even after we had to pay a small amount to the IT company to make this change. Mr. Ledoux.
I noticed on it that you have the new website on the lockup license, but to get licenses, at least from what I can been able to see from the website, you still have to go to the legacy websites to update your license. Is there any plan to try to consolidate these websites as quickly as possible before they would need to renew so it isn't as confusing?
Member Ledoux, that's a great question. So I meant to reference a moment ago, we do intend to launch the new webpage the same week.
Okay.
So that should all happen at the same time. The other thing that we're doing, we finally, after being here and asking for it 5 months, we have a subscription to Constant Contact, and we are now going to begin communicating more regularly with all license holders. And we our first communication by way of Constant Contact is going to be an announcement about the license printing as well as the new webpage. So that's all happening in the same week. And that is being done somewhat intentionally. I think it fell together that way, but now we're like that, we have to do that now. The new webpage launch and this license printing has to all happen at the same time. So as an example, Mr. Bagley, you renew your license with us in the system. Once it's approved, it's going to generate an email to you that tells you, go here, log into your profile, print your license. And that language was drafted and approved by staff yesterday as well, all in the same conversation.
In West Virginia, when they have information about a licensee pop up, they also show infractions, the record. We consider that because it helps the public decide who to trust.
That's Chair Bagley, I think that's a great question and great feedback. I think we will look into our legality around that and see if we can do that and do like a 2.0 launch on that.
Yeah, it seems to help out there.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Any further questions on that one? Awesome. Rounding out my report for this month, here's I received feedback several months ago about, hey, if you can start just at least sharing those, you know, 6 months, a rolling 6 months of meetings. So our next meeting will be Friday, November 18th at 9 a.m. Right here in this very room, I believe. And the one I did want to bring to everybody's attention, our March meeting was scheduled on Friday, March 17th. There's a significant conflict that week with rooms and a number of other things. So we decided to go ahead and move the March meeting to the fourth Friday of the month, Friday, March 24th at 9 a.m. The week before also happens to be a significant majority of spring breaks for most schools and some of those types of things. So it's going to be, I think it's going to work better, and we have notice. So if you guys start looking at your calendars and we start suddenly having a significant conflict with Friday, March 24th, please let me know and we can figure out how we can adjust from there. But as of now, we're scheduled Friday, March 24th.
Can we get an email about that?
Sure. Okay. So that concludes my report for this month. This month, I have our Assistant Attorney General Baskin is going to provide us a legislative update on three key legislative changes that occurred during this last legislative session that impact our work here at the board.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Bagley, members of the board. The legislative session ended, and the effective date of the legislation was September 24th, 2022. And Mr. McGauley and myself, we reviewed the changes, and we selected three of the legislative changes that significantly affect our board and wanted to highlight those. The first one deals with ARS 41-1081.01, and that's the licensing fee waiver, and it adds two extra categories to that list, one being active duty military service member spouses and any honorably discharged veteran, as long as the veteran applies within 2 years of their discharge, and these two individuals would be eligible for an initial fee waiver. And Mr. Bagali, do you want to address the implementation?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, members of the board, this is actually probably the most significant. This change has the most significant impact on our work. We have applications that have to be changed. We have a number of items from a process standpoint that have to be changed, but we are currently working to update those application processes to comply with these requirements. I also failed to mention at the beginning of this presentation, you have a supplemental document in the Google Drive that has all of the actual this summary, as well as the supporting statutory changes. So you have the full language for you as well.
All right, thank you. The next one deals with universal licensure. And what that section has done is it has codified prior executive orders that this board has been compliant with, and Mr. McGauley can address. And it requires the board to seek any approval from the governor's office prior to denying a universal licensure application. And it also requires that information regarding the application be tracked and reported to the governor's office on an annual basis. And I turn it over to Mr. McGauley.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, at this time, we have not denied in the 6 months I've been here. We have not denied any universal applications. However, we've been actually adhering to this requirement because it was an executive order prior for some period of time before this. So this is not really any change to our operational procedures.
Okay. And as far as the tracking, that is done on an annual basis.
Yeah, I think my understanding at this point is we've been doing that quarterly with the governor's office, and so now that's going to change into an annual report, but we've been tracking it anyway. So really, again, operationally, it's not much different for us.
All right, and then turning to the last area, and it involves public records requests, and that's ARS 39-171. And what this statute does is it requires the board to have a point of contact and have this information available on the website so that individuals are able to have the name, the phone number, the email address of an employee or a department whose job it is to actually provide this information. And it also requires a reply and acknowledgement within 5 days of receiving the request. And that's unless the board uses an online portal that will go ahead and generate a receipt upon submission. And I believe that prior to the codification of this statute, the board had been aiming for a 48-hour acknowledgement of any public records request. And I would turn it over to Mr. McCauley regarding implementation.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, this was one of the many catalysts to hiring a communications administrator for the organization, was because this was also something that I saw very quickly upon my arrival here, that we didn't have existing capacity within staff. So I knew we had a number of communications opportunities, including public records requests. So again, we've been adhering to this, we've been complying, I should say, with this requirement since even before it became statute, because I can tell you that our communications administrator responds almost immediately in most cases. And as a matter of fact, I would argue that we, for the 6 months that I've been here, we acknowledge receipt within 72 hours. So again, we also have tracking mechanisms in place now that we didn't have before. But I also think it's really important to delineate the difference between public information requests and records reproduction requests, because those are two different beasts. But we have the same, basically our internal process is the same, that we acknowledge receipt and we start the work on gathering that records request.
All right, thank you.
With that, it concludes the executive director's report.
Thank you. Some good information there, and then I applaud the staff for the changes you've made and the improvement. I know that in my own experiences, during a time when it wasn't running this well, I spent probably half my day talking to people and trying to figure out how to sort problems out, and now that's not a problem for me. So it helped me a great deal. I appreciate it. And I know the market does. Also, some feedback on the market side of your testing. That was a lot of those phone calls. And now the only thing I ever hear is people saying, how could I be testing so quickly? How could I get through this so fast? And I think, boy, you're complaining about it works too well. So it's an interesting shift.
Yeah.
Before the phone call.
I, Mr. Chair, members of the board, I completely agree. It was super fascinating to see this dynamic shift in that work. Like, it really brought us into the 21st century. And I think what's really amazing is if the individual applying follows the steps as they've been lined out, if they test on Monday, they oftentimes can have a license in hand by Wednesday. Whereas before, it was taking even 10 weeks to get them approved to test, then receive results, then process. So it was literally this huge dynamic shift. And I think, to me, when I look at some of those numbers, that's probably why we're seeing those testing numbers go up so quickly now, as people are realizing, yeah, I go take my test, I can start working in a week. Like, there's some really great things. We identified an opportunity to better partner with schools on this, though, from a communications standpoint. So that's also on our communications plan for the next year as well.
Yeah, I had an experience where I taught a class 2 weeks ago, and one of my students got up and came over and shook my hand, which I thought was sort of interesting. And she said, you know, I've already passed my test. And she was finishing her class in order to graduate. So that was unusual.
Yeah. Yep.
She was pretty happy. So anyway, good job. That's a great job. All right, we have comments from the board we'd like to get through at this stage. All right.
None here.
All right, then let's see, 9:37.
So, Mr. Chair, we can finish the through the consent agreement, the consent agenda now, I should say.
Yeah. The first part of it. All right, so who is that now? Is that Rose and stuff?
Ms. Rodriguez?
Yes, would you start, please?
Yes. So, step one, B, recommended dismissal.
Mr. Chairman, and members of board, this is Rodriguez, compliance administrator. All cases listed under step 1B, recommended dismissals, have been reviewed according to board parameters, and we would ask the board to consider recommendations or take other non-disciplinary action.
Do we have any discussion? Ms. Cruz? Do we have a motion?
Chip Sagafon Lover moves that we follow staff recommendations for dismissal under 1B.
Sam Ledoux, second.
All right, hearing a motion and a second, and no discussion. Are we doing this roll call? Are we doing it? Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, we accept your recommendation.
Mr. Knox, were you an aye?
Yes.
Thank you.
Step 1C, non-disciplinary as a concern. Mr. Chairman, and members of board, all cases listed under step 1C, recommended non-disciplinary as a concern, have been reviewed according to board parameters, and we would ask the board to consider staff recommendations or take other non-disciplinary action.
Is there a discussion with the board? Is there a motion from the board?
Guzman Glover moves that we accept staff recommendations related to step 1C.
Sam Ledoux, second.
Hearing a motion and a second, and no discussion in quest. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Mr. Knox, are you there? Any opposed? All right, we accept that.
Step 1B, recommended informal interviews with negotiation terms. Mr. Chairman and members of the board, all cases listed under step 1B, recommended for informal interview or negotiation terms, have been reviewed according to board parameters, and we would ask the board to consider staff recommendations or take other non-disciplinary action.
We were getting these. We don't batch these. I was wondering, are these cases that we're going to hear today?
No, the ones that we're going to recommend to hear.
To move forward?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, I see their move. All right, just trying to figure out the paper. All right, then, based on that, do we have any discussion? Hearing none, do we have a motion regarding this group?
Guzman Glover moves that we accept staff recommendations under step 1D.
Sam Ledoux, second.
Thank you. All right, hearing a motion and a second, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
We assume that was an agreement. Mr. Knox, you are agreeing?
This is by the way.
Yeah, I think he's fine. He's fine either. All right. Moving to there.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, we're moving to item number 6 on the agenda. 6C, and we have Mr. Bueno here to share information about these with you.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, Chris Bueno. This has to do with the out-of-country barbers, people that are applying for licensure. The first one is application 009-35117. It's for Hugo Valdez. I'm going to go ahead and read the statute so you guys kind of know what we're looking at here. Per statute 32-322 states that an applicant who holds a valid license or authorizing document to practice barbering issued by another country and who is present in the United States is authorized under federal law is exempt from subsection B, paragraph 5 of the section, and all of the following is applied. That would be attending school or an apprenticeship. Three things that are determined is one is the board determines that the applicant is proficient in barbering. The applicant completes at least 350 hours of education at a barber school or program that is licensed pursuant to this chapter. and the applicant signs a document stating the applicant has read and understands the requirements of this chapter. I'm going to give you kind of the qualifications right now for barbering in Arizona, which is the current requirements for Arizona licensure are 1,200 hours at a licensed barber school or completion of a DES program, which is 2,250 hours. An applicant must successfully pass two examinations that covers theory and practical to be able to earn their license. Mr. Valdez has submitted the following forms of proof of experience and proficiency in barbering for the members to review. Those were in the Google file that has his information. One is a translated document stating that he has completed the course on the study of barbershop at College for Entrepreneurs in Mexico on June 7, 2021. That course was 400 hours. Staff was able to contact the school and the instructor to verify that he did, in fact, attend the school and complete it. Mr. Valdez also attended and completed Bocuts Barber Academy here in Phoenix and finished 350 hours of education. At this point, he has submitted the documentation for the state and is just waiting for approval to move forward.
Sorry, I said he completed. I just see a small note on the document translation page. It says he's currently attending.
He's finished the school here in Arizona. Okay. The 350 hours.
Which meets the requirements.
Okay.
Yeah, for Arizona. Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. Do we have any questions from the board? Do you have a motion?
So what are we?
And just one more point I forgot to write. This is it says valid license or authorizing document. There is no, they don't have a license there in Mexico. It's just a document from the school saying they finished the program.
What exactly are we moving to do here?
Grant
the license?
Basically, yes.
All right. Jay Serentine, move to grant the license.
Second, Guzman Glover.
All right, hearing a motion and a second, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. We're going to go to work.
All right. Mr. Chair, members of the board, the second one we have application 00935118, Mr. Juan Verdugo. So he also has submitted the following forms for experience, proficiency in barbering for the board members to review. One translated document stating he completed a course at New Generation Barbershop in Mexico on April 1st, 2020. So the course was from April 1st, 2020 to June 19, 2020, completing 400 hours. Staff was able to verify the school and his attendance at that school. Mr. Verdugo attended Prestige Barber School in Tucson and has completed the 350 hours of education required and has also submitted his application to the board for licensure. Right, and so it's just waiting for the approval to move forward.
Okay. Any discussion from the board? Any motion from the board?
I move to grant Mr. Verdugo those license.
Guzman Glover, second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
All right. All right. Let's get these guys going to work.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, we'll now move to item 6I, and we'll have Ms. Rodriguez present this case.
Mr. Chairman, I move the board. Item under I, case number 97661, 97662, Golden Anderson Swamp, license number SNT 18649 and SAES 1991. I would like to ask the board to rescind the previous motion to a notice of informal interview with negotiation terms and to issue a non-disciplinary letter of concern. According to board parameters, at the time of the inspection, the violations that were found were to issue a non-disciplinary letter. For an active personal license and no
Any discussion from the board? Questions? No? Any motion?
Guzman Glover moves that we rescind the motion to informal interview with negotiation option and instead accept staff recommendations to issue a non-disciplinary letter of concern related to case 97661 and 97662 Golden Nail and Fog and Black.
Chase Tarrington, second.
The motion is second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing no opposition, we accept that recommendation for change.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, we'll now move to item 6K, and I believe this one is also Ms. Rodriguez.
So this is 97234, Christina DeVito, license number 1180341. I would like to ask the board if they would consider to administratively close the case. All mail that's been sent to her mailing address has been returned to the office with no unforward address. And at the time the city of respondent contacts the office, you can reopen the case and continue with the either the consent agreement offered previously or just go to the office.
All right. Any discussion? All right. Any motion?
I move to close the case in accordance with staff recommendations for case number 97234.
Guzman Glover, second.
I hear a motion is second. All in favor, say aye.
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 All right, we're good. I got Mr. Chair, members of the board, that concludes the first section of our agenda for the morning. Our next, our items 7 will begin at 10 a.m., so I would recommend an 11-minute recess until 10 a.m.
All right, so ordered. We're in recess until 10 a.m. All right. I think this flow is better.
Seems to be.
Yeah, it just, I like to have seen it before this, but yeah, that's why I like working.
Well, and we'll continue. I mean, there will still, I think, be occasionally a few things that we.
right.
be one of my bar instructors. She's 56.
Oh, that's her.
Yeah, she's trying. So basically, she's my age.
Hello? Yes. Hi, my name's Natalie.
This is Joanna Shapansky.
Hi, I'm calling in her case number 96976.
Awesome. Good morning, everyone. For those of you that are on the Google Meets or on by phone, I'd ask that you please mute your phones and we will call your cases in the order that they are on the agenda.
Hello?
Hi, good morning. For those of you that have joined us by phone or Google Meets, we would ask that you please mute your phones and we will call your cases in the order that they are on the agenda.
Okie doke.
All right, I call the meeting back to order. We're going to go back up the script to the approval of minutes from the September meeting and reopen that point. So do we have any discussion or consideration related to the September 16th, 2022 minutes from the board?
I make a motion to approve the minutes from the meeting.
Give us over a second.
Motion is second. All in favor say aye.
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 Mr. Knox, are you there? Okay.
To be clear, I don't, since I wasn't there. I just say
sure.
Just making sure.
Okay. Mr. Knox, are you there?
Mr. Knox, if you're on mute, please press star 6 to unmute yourself. All right, so I guess we don't have.
Yeah, we don't have that.
All right, and Mr. Chair, members of the board, it is 10:04, and let the record reflect that Ms. Flores has joined
us. Yes, thank you.
Oh, hi.
And Mr. Knox is there. Yeah. All right. Good timing, brother.
So, Mr. Chair, members of the board, we will move on to the informal interviews, item number 7 on the agenda. 7A, we will start with our without negotiation options. Ms. Rodriguez.
Okay, then I call case number 96875, 96876, 97748, 97772, 97664, 97665, 97803, Rosie's Nails, SNT 16495, SAES 21398. Vic Dwin Lee, license 500-00384 and license 317-00849. Min Vu, license 500-00151. Manager, Rosie Nails, SNT 16495, SAES 21398. Is anyone here from Rosie's Nails? Anyone online from Rosie Nails? Press star 6 to unmute.
All right, Mr. Chair, members of the board, I'm gonna ask Ms. Baskin, because I know at least in my 6 months here, we've not had this situation. So I'm gonna ask that she...
Are you from Rosie's Nails? Are you from Rosie's Nails?
All right. I would ask that if you're on by phone or virtually, please mute your phone or microphones, and we will call your case in the order that it's on the agenda.
And right now we're calling Rosie's Nails. Anyone on the phone from Rosie's Nails?
So, as I was stating, Mr. Chair, members of the board, I would ask Ms. Baskin just to procedurally give us a quick what our next steps are, because this is not something I'm even familiar with myself at this point.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. This licensee was placed on a on the board order for probation, and from based on the inspection findings, I believe that is presented to you for noncompliance with that. With that agreement, it was set for an informal proceeding. From my discussions with Ms. Rodriguez, the licensees plan to appear today. Since they are not present, you can move it forward to a formal hearing. And if you would, if the board pleases, you could provide the state with a consent agreement to negotiate with these licensees in the event that they contact the board and wish to resolve the matter.
Okay. All right, so
I want to not to walk into the meeting. I'm not sure if it's
yeah.
No, he's gonna be here before. Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right, so I make a motion that we move case number 96875, 96876, 97748, 97772, 97664, 97665, and 97803 to a formal hearing, or any alternative except a signed consent agreement previously authorized the board as resolution for the case.
Mr. Bagley, members of the board, there was not a previously offered consent agreement in this case. They were on a probationary agreement, and the staff has conducted inspections and made inspection findings in your report. So you may review that if you wish to provide the state with guidance to resolve this matter, or just move it to formal hearing and the state can negotiate and present something to the board. However, some guidance would be helpful.
My understanding is this salon has repeatedly failed inspections, had repeated public safety sanitation violations, has rarely complied throughout this list of cases with the agreed upon corrections for penalties. So I'm not sure. I mean, as far as next, I'm not sure next steps.
What are our options?
The board has all disciplinary and non-disciplinary options. The board can offer a consent agreement for voluntary surrender, which would be treated as revocation. It could be also offered a consent agreement for suspension for a time to be determined by the board pursuant to your statute. You could also continue probation. You could also offer a consent agreement for a civil penalty.
If I'm remembering correctly, in this case, they paid civil penalties before but hadn't corrected behavior.
So, yeah.
All right, to clarify, I would like to withdraw the motion I was making and submit a different motion.
Okay. And then would there be a withdrawal of that? Was there a second?
No.
You did not get the part. Okay.
All right. So, read that again. I move that on cases number 96875, 96876, 97748, 97772, 97664, 97665, and 97803, that we move to a formal hearing.
Don't we
make recommendations?
Yeah, don't we have to
make recommendations? They want us to make recommendations.
They would like to make recommendations, but I think we need to put it in the lawyer's hands and let them deal with it. That's me. If you want to change, you can look at something, but I don't know that we can give them a consent agreement based on what we've had before.
Okay.
Anybody want to change it?
I don't know. I'm wondering if there should be some sort of progressive discipline. I guess
we have that. I agree with you.
So that would be established
right
the hearing. Was the idea?
So they just come to the hearing and then we can, I guess they're not here at this hearing.
We need to see them and find out what's going on.
Now, if there is some type of consent agreement that is entered into, that would have to be brought back and presented to the board for your review. And I also believe that, I'm sorry, Mr. Ledoux, that the salon nail technician license has not been renewed. Mm-hmm. It still remains, it's still an unlicensed establishment.
That's what concerns me, is that they've repeatedly violated openly and flagrantly all of our recommendations. There's no some sort of punishment. I just think that they will just continue to operate, and the longer we put it off, the more they'll operate, the more exposure customers may have to these environments.
That was my thought in the formal hearing. That rings the door closed. We have the formal hearing. We decide at that point what to do, and most likely, unless something changes, we could deal with that at that point.
Anything we do right now, they've already not done.
Yes.
Like anything we say at this moment.
Sometimes
they pay several penalties, and that doesn't work. They haven't done the inspection course that we told them to do.
It looks like they did do the inspection protection courses.
Right. However, it was untimely.
Okay.
And it was after board contact to remind them.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, from hearing your discussion, it sounds like this, you would move it forward to a formal hearing, and then you would accept a signed consent agreement for voluntary surrender of the license in lieu of proceeding with formal hearing.
Sure. Yeah. There's your motion. Okay. Can we leave the motion as is, or we need to restate it?
Probably to restate it for the record.
Because there's 75 of them. Okay, here we go. Okay, I move to rescind whatever I said before.
No, we don't have to rescind.
You can just amend. Okay. Good. All right, then we want to amend my motion to include a consent agreement that may be negotiated during the legal proceedings.
Right, for a consent agreement
for potential
voluntary
revocation license.
Surrender of a license, which would be considered a voluntary revocation.
All right.
Second.
Hearing a motion and a second, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right.
Thank you, Ms. Baskin.
All right, Mr. Chair, members of the board, that will conclude without negotiation options. So we will move on to 7B with negotiation options. Ms. Rodriguez.
Page number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 will be attending. And number 8 is unresolved. 9, 10, 11 will be attending. Number 12, 97407, Shag Hair Salon is unresolved. 97412 are negotiated. And 97413, Amy Hamilton will be calling in. 13, 14, 15, and 16 will be attending. Number 17, negotiated. 18, 19, and 20 are unresolved.
All right. So moving forward on section 7B. We have a script to go through in the first part. It's now 10:15 a.m. on October 21st, 2022. This is the time and place scheduled for the board's consideration of cases scheduled for an informal interview pursuant to ARS 32-573. My name is Board Chairman Begley. The other board members will now introduce themselves and indicate whether they are a public member or a professional member.
Chase Turrentine, public member.
Randy Flores, public member.
Kristen Hans-Lover, public member.
Sam Ledoux, public member.
We assume Mr. Knox is no longer.
Mr. Knox, are you on the phone?
No, he's off.
He's off. Okay.
Oh, he did leave. Okay. All right. Wait a minute. Okay. Also present is the board's executive director, Frank Magali, and the board's attorney, Mona Baskin. from the Arizona Attorney General's Office. Before we begin, I'd like to advise everyone that this proceeding is being recorded. Accordingly, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly, and that only one person speak at a time. When you begin speaking, please identify yourself for the record. We ask that you keep your phone on mute until we call your case. When your case is called, unmute your phone by pressing star six. Please be aware that we have read all the materials submitted. The board has a civility policy, and we request that all participants conduct themselves in a professional manner. At this point, I'd like to swear in the board staff. And we're going to do it in this manner. I'll call your name. Each of you raise your hand and say that you swear. Rosa Rodriguez?
Yeah, I do.
Ellen Bordelon?
I do.
Oh, there you are. Kelly Whitaker?
I do.
Lisa Chavez?
I do.
Keegan McConnell?
I do.
Alexandra Hill?
I do.
And Kathy Bergeron?
Kathy Bergeron is not present today.
Okay, Ms. Bergeron, I have to take that out. All right, each of you said you do, but the question was, do you swear or affirm the testimony you were about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? And each of you said yes.
Yes.
Nicely done. All right. The purpose of the informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of each case and to decide the outcome. The licensees have received a notice informing them of the matters to be discussed today, the process for the informal interview, and the possible actions the board may take. As a reminder, those options include a dismissal, an issuance of a non-disciplinary letter of concern, an issuance of a disciplinary letter of concern. We may impose a probation requirement best adapted to protect the public safety, welfare, health and welfare, including requirements for restitution payments to patrons. We may also offer a consent agreement with terms previously offered or with new terms, or we may forward the matter to a formal hearing. I will call each case listed on the agenda one by one, and please limit your testimony to 5 minutes. Right, so we will now proceed with informal interview cases listed on the agenda, starting with number 97334, Kelly D. Nails, SNT 18487. Kelly Nails LLC by Dr. Nguyen, loaner, owner, and Kim Tran, license 502-00031. Star 6 to unmute. Are you present? Are you present here? Oh, good.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, just so everyone is aware, our first two cases do have interpreters this morning.
Okay, excellent. Come forward, please. Before you stand, do you swear the testimony you'll give today will be truthful?
Yes.
Thank you. Please and state your name.
We also need information on the interpreter for the record, Mr. Chair.
Oh. And could you introduce yourself and your qualifications?
My name is Mark, B-A-C-H, the Vietnamese interpreter.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, the board has contracted the interpreters for the case this morning and have been approved by board staff.
Great.
That's fantastic.
Well, we appreciate you. All right. And this is an LLC.
And we do have the LLC representation attestation on file.
Okay. So we're all right. Move forward. All right, so would you please review this case with us? State your name and review the case.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, my name is Kelly Whitaker. I'm speaking on behalf of Kathy on November 5th, 2021, Ms. Bergeron inspector conducted a inspection of Kelly email. Located at 12 8 53 North Tatum, Suite D3. She found a gallon of MMA. Bergeron interviewed Kim Tran, owner, license number 502-00031. When she asked, what do they use for liquid monomer for acrylic nails, Kim Tran pointed out, 1 gallon of MMA. That's what they use for product use. If you guys have any more questions.
We understand the complaint is solely the MMA. Okay.
Yes.
So can you explain to us how you have this controlled substance?
I bought from the nail supplies and I thought I could use it.
Okay. For your information, it's illegal for use.
At the current moment, I understand that it's illegal, but I didn't understand that before.
Right. Unfortunately, it's legal to sell.
Are you still using MMA? What are you using?
I throw away after she said it and can use it, and I throw away right away because I want to for myself, from everybody work there, for my customer. I don't want to use that, but I throw away.
Other questions?
That's sufficient information for me.
Agreed.
I just want to state for the record, I brought this up at the last meeting. I noticed that in the previous cases where we were reviewing these type of cases, they weren't explicitly marketed as nail product, but in this case it was. And in this case, you know, our patron was sold this by a nail supplier directly, and that's just completely concerning to me that this continues to happen. In the other cases, you could tell that there may have been something that was like marketed towards construction usage or some other application. But this one on the bottle directly says Career Nail Supply on it, which is very concerning.
Very good point. Something our legislative committee should take a look at.
Yeah, there's something they can do about it. I think we should do what we need to do with the cases, which I think was
disciplinary. I think it was disciplinary if they did know,
okay,
or you know, did purchase it for use and were actively using it.
Okay.
But not, I believe that's what we've done in the past for similar cases. I don't, could be wrong. But what's next on our script?
Deliberate.
All right, we have deliberated. Someone should make a motion.
Okay, so I move that we adopt the findings of fact, including the presence and use of MMA in the investigative report, as well as the conclusions of law, that there was a violation of statute or rule.
Okay, turn down second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, do you have that?
I have another motion. I move that based on the findings of fact and conclusions of law, we take the following disciplinary action, which is to send a disciplinary letter of concern for the licensee. And I base this on the effect that, you know, it is not illegal to sell MMA. It is illegal to use it, but it's not legal to sell it. So this is a very common mistake that we've seen licensees make. So we would like to correct it.
Sorry, I'm trying to,
Sorry, yeah. I just went on a ramble there. I don't know if that was appropriate.
I'm just trying to discern the practical differences between a non-disciplinary and a disciplary, given the...
Mr. Chair, members of the board, so if you adopt the findings of facts and conclusions of law, you have to do a disciplinary concern.
That's right. All right. Then Chase Erndine, a second.
Okay, we have a motion and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. So we're going to issue a disciplinary letter of concern. We are not going to find them. So don't buy any more.
Okay, I know my recommend 125.
And tell all your friends, don't buy any. And we'll try to figure out how to get this. You'll get a letter in the mail related to this that will explain it, but there's no further action needed. Thank you.
And have a nice week.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, case number two also has an interpreter that was contracted by board staff and approved by board staff.
Very much appreciate that we're doing that now. I feel like it elevates the professionalism and ability for this board to have an authentic dialogue with licensees. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, so now we're going to go to our case 97696, Esmeralda Lugo Martinez, license 51900701. Thank you. Before. Just to add a testimony you're going to give will be truthful and state your name. All right. Please have a seat.
Do you need to introduce myself or talk to me?
And tell us about you.
My name is Karina Redondo, and I'm a Spanish interpreter.
We appreciate you being here and helping us today. So, Chavez, lovely to see you. Tell me about this.
Members of the board, my name is Isabel Chavez. On July 1st, 2022, I went to the residence of Esmeralda Lugo Martinez on an investigation for providing services out of her home. As the respondent walked out of the door, she had an apron on that had nails on the top. The respondent did not speak English and called her husband. I then explained the complaint, and Ricardo, the respondent's husband, said that his wife only does her family's nails. I then explained to Ricardo how to apply for a home establishment license and how to come into compliance. Regulated services were being performed at an unlicensed home salon. On September 12, 2022, an establishment license for ES Nails was approved for SND 20193, which expires September 12, 2023.
Okay. I'm sorry, can you repeat the dates for the when the license was approved again?
Sure. It was approved on September 12th, 2022, but it expires September 12th, 2020.
Got it. Okay.
What was the date of the inspection?
It was an investigation. So when I went to the residence, it was on July 1st.
And just for clarification, it was the husband who told you that they were only doing, she was only doing her family's nails, correct?
Family's nails. Correct. And it was on a complaint that I guess there was the complainant had some malpractice issues with her nails that allegedly
Was the person a family member? Well, we don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Any other discussion? Any motions? Oh, I'm sorry. Skip the part. We think we understand this, but would you like to say anything else?
The only thing I can say is that it's not true, the allegation. That I didn't cause any damage to anybody's nails.
I don't have a call from anybody that said that they needed me to fix their nails or a text message or anything. And I want to think that it's a friend because those are the people that I've been doing the nails on.
Or a competitor.
What about?
Yeah.
No. Okay, so you're currently licensed to operate as a home spa, so is it your intention to expand your business?
Yes, they told me that I needed to have some type of like at home license so I can even do it for family or friends as a practice. And then my plan is to do that and then later on to do it as a expand my business.
Great. Okay. Do we have a motion regarding this case?
Ms. Flores, you want to be our official?
No, I'm going to have someone else do it this time, so I'm not always dominating the motion.
All right, I'd like to move to accept findings of fact and conclusions of law.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? All right, so we've read this out. Do you have an order of discipline?
I move that we issue a disciplinary letter of concern.
Second.
A motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right.
Thank you.
So we are going to issue you a disciplinary letter of concern. It'll come to you in the mail. It makes a record that this happened. So that's all you have to do today. There'll be no fine. We appreciate you coming in and dealing with the issue. Do you have any questions?
No, that's it.
All right.
Have a great weekend.
Yeah.
You'll get something in the mail. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was you today. All right. So our next case is Lux Nail Spa, SNT 18799 and SAES 21138. Lux Nail Spa LLC owner, Andy Knox-Lynn, license 507-00701, is our case number 97200. Apparently you're here.
Yes. And Mr. Chair, members of the board, we do have on file for the record an LLC representation attestation for the LLC.
You swear the testimony you give be truthful and state your name.
Andy.
Truth. Yes. Be truthful. All right. There you go. Oh, Chavez, there you are again. You're so busy.
Good morning, Mr. Begley and members of the board. Again, my name is Lisa Chavez. On January 5th, I went to the salon on an investigation for sanitation of Lux Nail Spa. I spoke with manager Andy Knox-Lynn about complaints. For sanitation while I was there, during the inspection, I identified the following health and safety violations. Trimin, when pedicure carts had reused spoons and pedicure masks and scrubs, 4 unenclosed metal wraps, 3 unenclosed disposable pedicure slippers, 3 nail dust all over the pedicure cart, the nail station, so it's like a pedicure cart, all of that had nail dust on it, so it's 3 pieces. Strong bow station, unenclosed implements, nail drill with wet and nail dust, staff and dishes with nail dust, any knock when station, nail dust around the station, pedicure carts throughout the salon had multiple violations. There was reuse of pumice stone, I found 2 unenclosed pedicure slippers and implements, I found 3 on the 3 different pedicure carts. 3 reused spoons inside of the pedicure mat and scrub, 4 unenclosed metal wraps, 3 nail desks all around pedicure and nail station, 2 unenclosed piles, nail snippers, and implements. So for that was the sanitation part. For the license, I verified S&T 18799 license on board database that the license became delinquent as of August 18, 2021. SAES 21138 became delinquent as of December 14, 2020. They have not been renewed as of October 17th. So right now, both licenses are not renewed. For the actual licensee, inactive personal license, Tribe Nguyen 5050679 expired December 31st, 2021, and I verified on October 17th, license has not been renewed. An active personal license for Plum Roll 5010238 expired December 31st, 2021. Verified this on October 17th, and license has not been renewed. An active personal license displayed, Andy Nguyen. Personal license 5070071 expired on August 22nd, 2021. Andy Nguyen's active license for August 22nd, 2023 was not displayed, so license display issue. One unlicensed male technician was servicing a client when I walked in. No personal license or identification was given when requested. The unlicensed male technician left the service and the client, then left the salon and left in his car. One unlicensed female nail technician, Devon Davis, had on display her Nevada State Cosmetologist license, number C5438, expires on November 15, 2022. Her equipment was set up in an attempt to perform nail technology services. I went over the photos of sanitation violations with both respondents and also talked to respondents about unlicensed operators.
Okay. Well, Mr. Nguyen, would you like to explain the situation to us, please?
Yeah, a lot to explain.
A lot to explain. Start with sanitation.
Well, in sanitation, well, after the COVID-19, everybody's like, quitting or whether they quit going home to work at home. So right now we don't even have no worker. I only have a few left in our business.
Sure. They do. Tell us why it was so dirty in there.
Yeah, it's dirty because, you know, like every time they quit, they left their cart there without coming back and cleaning it out. So we don't touch people's stuff until they come back and pack their stuff to go home, whatever. So that's the reason why some of the stuff is left unclean. Also, every morning I come out and I used to dust before, but it's so big that I used the like an air blow and just dust it out. And sometimes it gets into the corner. You know, now, you know, when we do nails, dust is everywhere. So even you try one kind, and after, you know, it's just dust everywhere. You know, like, I'm a human being. I mean, I can clean it all day, but it's just unfair that I have to clean every time the whole shop like that. And I'm the responsible for cleaning.
Yes, that's the joy of being the manager.
Yes. Hard. It was really hard. And
have you thought about using a vacuum?
Yeah, I thought about it. Yeah, but then I bite it and keep working. Just a big floor.
Okay, so what steps have you made to cause your shop to be clean?
Well, after Lisa came in and took all the pictures and everything, I decided to clean up everything that she had complained about. And so I put it all in the bag. I would even go into like Walmart and get like boxes and then put a tool inside, and she welcome to come back and take a look at it.
look at it. And I just hate the fact that I have to come down here all the time, and I don't like that. It's just not good reputation for my
son. Not good reputation
and
for your son.
Even with customers that come in, sometimes, you know, they have attitude at home and bring it in and try to take it out on us. It wasn't our fault. You know, we tried to work so hard to please customers. We understand that, you know, sometimes they're in a good mood, which is good for us. And if they're in a bad mood, they can say anything about the salon. I don't want to pay for it.
Okay. And would you show Ms. Chavez your picture, please, of your salon? So she can.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Mr. Chairman, members of the board,
if that would have to be shown to the entire board, we need to have that identified.
Okay.
As when it was taken, who took it, and where it was taken up.
Okay. Let's have it show to her, then she can pass it around. She's the one who's seen the place. She would know whether it looks like.
That's right. But yeah, we take the whole day.
It's good that you cleaned it out. Now, how are you going to keep it clean?
Well, to keep it clean, I'm going to be honest, it's hard. I try to tell my employees, you know, make sure that the board, this is what the board like, put in the bag after, you know, you work on the customer, put it in the bag, put it away and clean it later and get the new tool and work it on the customer.
Yeah.
And so time and time I keep telling them, you know, they listen to you right there and then a couple of days later they start to like lagging and I cannot control that.
Okay, yeah. Can you
really hard.
I'd like to advise you to keep in mind the board's responsibility is to protect the public.
Yes.
And if we feel like you can't operate in a safe manner, then we'll take away your ability to operate.
Yes, so what I did was I get rid of people that don't listen, and it's really hard job to
do. You have to do.
Some people away, then give me a bad name, actually, and I'm not that type, and so I'm trying.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think you're having management issues. I don't think there's any doubt about it. But be clear that this board's responsibility is to protect the public. And if we feel like you are not supporting that goal of ours, then we'll have to remove your ability to practice. So you have no choice. Got to keep it clean.
Chairman, I'd like to mention a couple of things. Licensee, can you share with us information about why there was an unlicensed tech who left when the inspector arrived into the salon? That seems suspicious, as if they knew they were unlicensed and violating statute or violating our rules.
Oh, it wasn't. So when Lisa came in, and normally when the board came down, people get panic, and I don't like that. I keep telling my people, this is the board coming. She's going to inspect the nail salon. I want to make sure that everybody stay calm. I don't want nobody to, like, get panicked.
Who was this person?